Welcome to the 136th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. Welcome. It is hot again in Florida. I went for an 11-mile run today, and thank God for a little bit of breeze on the way back. It was pretty humid. Trying something a little different since my Ironman. I'm going to try to fuel a little bit more naturally. I started before I went running this morning. I had a date, and then after I came back with the dogs for their little part of the run, I did a Peter Rabbit blueberry raspberry puree, and then I did do a Huma gel after about 7 miles. That gel has chia seeds and brown rice syrup, so it's not just the sugary stuff that I've done before. So that seemed to set a little bit more. The Peter Rabbit puree actually did pretty well. I wish it was a little bit more portable, but it may be worth trying to figure out how to carry those for the marathon. My goal for the Sacramento Marathon in December is to try to, again, fuel more naturally and probably utilize less calories and stuff if I can. It is a little different than the Ironman because it's not near as long, so your stomach doesn't get quite as messed up, but I just having trouble with the concept of, you know, putting all these gels down just for the sake of calories. I just don't think it's good for your system. It certainly hasn't proven really good for my system with respect to how I feel after and even in the end. So that's my goal. In the practice, we're doing a plank challenge, so we have a progressive set of planks every week for the month of October. And Addie, who was on the podcast last week, has a video out on our private Facebook page where she's demoing that and taking our members through a progression of movement, because again, we want people to be able to move, be socially engaged, and eat a whole food plant-based diet as our goal for optimal health and wellness. So that's one way we're getting people down. If you can get on the ground and get back up without assistance, that is absolutely fantastic for your longevity. So, you know, getting down there and doing those planks is a good way to force yourself down and force yourself back up. And so if you have difficulty and you find when you're getting up and down that you're having troubles with certain joints and certain parts of your body, then those are parts that you need to start working on. And it's all inclusive and all important. I've had the opportunity to do two speaking engagements this week. One was more of a question and answer after watching the movie What the Health, and the other was at a Skype conference with the Chat and Chew people of Winter Haven. So thank you both, the Green Scene of Naples and Winter Haven Chat and Chew, for having me down and virtually over to participate in your events. It's always great fun to see people that are interested in their health. I joined some of the people from Naples Green Scene before the movie at dinner, and the observation that I had for the evening compared to my day earlier, I actually did a blog post about. No one let the idea that the restaurant that we met at had no vegan options on it per se, you know, listed in the menu, they had vegetarian options, even bother them or hinder them at all. Most of us ordered a plate of steamed vegetables and brown rice, told them to hold the sauce on the side. It was an Asian fusion restaurant. And interestingly, the giant plate of vegetables came out. Sometimes when you order a plate of vegetables, it's a little skimpy, but this giant plate of broccoli and snap peas and carrots and asparagus was huge. Even I had trouble getting through it, and actually got a box, which is pretty rare for me to take a box out of a restaurant. I'm usually able to polish everything off. But nevertheless, you know, everybody was there and very positive, and it was all about being together and meeting new people. So it was a great great night at the restaurant, followed by a nice review of the movie. I did a little question and answer session after, and it was great fun. You know, again, being in a room where people are interested in taking control of their health, are happy to share the benefits that they've experience from a whole food plant-based diet with others, meeting new people, not being judgy or in your face about it, but just being happy to share their health with others. It was, again, a fabulous evening. And for the people at Chatted Chew at Winter Haven, you know, it was a great group of people. They were very knowledgeable. The questions that they asked were very, very intelligent, and they were happy to have Addie and I actually being Skyped in. We had a little technical difficulty, but nobody got bent out of shape over that. They kept working along, and we were able to do and I think cover just about everything that they wanted to cover. I did a question and answer session. And then Addie came on, and we talked about how to convert your regular standard American diet recipes to whole food plant-based recipes. And so we did our, you know, we talked about our go-to favorites because, you know, again, when you're first becoming plant-based, it's hard to figure out what, you know, what's going to be on your menu. You have this 7 or 10 different things that you ate all growing up and through most of your adulthood that you felt competent at cooking and you liked the taste of, and maybe they were associated with a certain day of the week, and now everything's in an uproar. So it takes some time to find, you know, those, what you want on Thursday nights or what you want to have after basketball game, or being prepared when you have a busy day at work that you don't want to come home and maybe do a whole lot of prep. Or, you know, the thought of standing in the kitchen for hours on end might be overwhelming. So once you kind of figure out that you can get meals on the table in 30 minutes that you like the looks of, it tastes good, and then you can create on other days, it certainly helps out. So we talked about some of our favorites from that respect. And I think it was very well received. So we had a really good time. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and you can't help but notice, so I guess that's a good thing. There's pink everywhere. Football players wear pink. The yogurt people have pink on their caps for their yogurt. There are fundraisers. People are making posts about breast cancer awareness. Unfortunately, most of it centers around detection. And a hope for cure. But what is being left out of the picture is there's actually a lot of hope for prevention. And so I'd like to take a few moments today to talk about cancer, breast cancer prevention, not necessarily detection and treatment. The China study, we've been reviewing the China study in our level 2 nutrition class here in Port Charlotte. And, you know, what we know is that if you take animal protein, you can really stimulate the growth of cancer cells, particularly breast cancer cells. And Dr. Campbell was able to demonstrate that in some of his studies by taking a foci or a clump of breast cancer cells and exposing them to casein protein. And if you if they were expressed to a 6% protein versus 24% protein, you could turn on cancer, turn off the growth of these cells. So we know that animal protein is a promoter of cell growth and abnormal cell growth. Do we know that animal protein by in and of itself causes breast cancer? No. Will we ever know? No. But what we do know is that what you do with your nutrition can really help you along the way to turn on genes, to turn off genes. We have DNA damage every day of our lives, but our body's able to, through a variety of mechanisms, to repair it. Sometimes you have some damage of the DNA and it sits dormant until there's a stimulus to either promote it or make it withdraw, so to speak, or stay asleep. We know that chemotherapy and radiation is not curative. No one in the medical community will say that chemotherapy and radiation cures it. We talk about survival rates, disease-free survival rates. Certainly, the further you get out away from a cancer, the safer you are as far as a recurrence in the near future. But we know that there's billions of cells out there that have DNA mutations, and they may lay dormant. And what we do nutritionally has a lot to do with if these cancer cells lay dormant or they continue to grow. the side effects of a whole food plant-based diet with regards to breast cancer are nil. It's not going to make things worse. It's going to help things. And I don't think that, you know, when it comes to cancer, and specifically breast cancer, since it's Breast Cancer Month, you can fool around with doing a pretty good diet. I think that, you know, this is a time when game on, so to speak. This is the biggest race of your life, the biggest game that you're going to, and the biggest challenge you may take. And only you can control what goes into your mouth and into your body. And if there are calories that you're taking in, it's not helping you and potentially hurting you, then that's on you. And you need to be aware of that and be present so that you can, you know, fight this fight or at least win this, not fight the fight, win the battle, and make yourself as healthy as you possibly can be. You can't get too many greens, you know, the good greens, Swiss chard, kale, spinach, cauliflower, broccoli, cruciferous vegetables are wonderful, carrots, carrot tops have been shown to decrease blood vessel growth into cancer cells. One of the things I like to do with the carrot tops, the green parts, if you're not following me, is to chop them up and make a tabbouleh with bulgur wheat. And cucumbers and tomatoes and lemon juice. It's a great salad. Even if you just add some of those carrot tops to your salad that you have, you know, it's wonderful. Make sure you add cabbage. You know, there's so many different kinds of cabbage. If you don't like a regular American head of cabbage, you know, try Napa cabbage and bok choy. That red cabbage will add help you tremendously to alkalinize your blood. So I try to take a little wedge of red cabbage every day into my salad. So those are, you know, again, push the nutrients. The antioxidants and phytonutrients from fruits are so helpful. Today after my run, I had a big bowl of fruit. Typically, sometimes I'll come in and I'll say, I just want something cold, so I'll make a smoothie that's out of fruit. But today I wanted to eat them. So I did a mango and a banana and grapefruit and grapes. I think that's all I had it that day, but it was a giant, oh, and watermelon. So a giant bowl of fruit, beta carotene in the form of pumpkin this time of year. So making pumpkin desserts with pumpkin puree and some dates, you know, we're going to hold off on all the other goopy things, but, you know, simple pumpkin puddings are great. Adding a squash sauce to your kale. So I do a butternut squash sauce that's with butternut squash and some nutritional yeast and some garlic and a little almond milk. And so again, you're getting more nutrients. Any way you can add nutrients to your diet, you want to keep that up. So what's the side effect of this whole food plant-based diet? Nothing. You know, are you getting enough protein? Yes. And again, we want to stay away from animal protein because we know with the China study that even little amounts of animal protein, you start to see an increased risk of cancer. It's an association. Is it a cause? No, it's not been proven, but it's a strong association. It's enough of an association that why bother? Why take the chance? What can you be deficient in a plant-based diet? B12. So I tell my patients, take a B12 tablet three times a week, a chewable or sublingual, and get your B12 levels checked. If it's less than 500, then, you know, take it every day. Most people can absorb it just fine. Iodine deficiency, it can be possible. It's pretty rare. Most people are exposed to a little bit of iodinized salt, so that's good. Nori nori that associated with vegetable sushi is a great way to get some iodine. Dulsa flakes, you know, some of the sea vegetables on your food sprinkle is a great way to get a little extra iodine and make sure you don't need much. You just need a little. But sea vegetables, again, are a great source. So what about, you know, obesity? There's this you know, fine line between fat shaming and, you know, how do we handle obesity is increasing in the population. So it's everywhere. It's affecting our children. It's affecting the babies. And nobody, you know, wants to tell. I have patients that they don't want to talk to their kids that have children that are obese. They don't know how, you know, it just starts a fight in the family. But the reality of it is that obesity is associated with cancer, and increased obesity is associated with breast cancer. that the adipose tissue is a producer of estrogen, and estrogen-like hormones. So it doesn't help to be overweight. So if you have breast cancer, then you need to be lean. And if you're overweight, to help prevent breast cancer, you need to get lean. Nobody exercised their way to leanness for the most part. You know, you see the Biggest Loser or the weight loss programs where they exercise 8 hours a day, and then they eat, weird processed food that's sponsored by the television, ads. It's pretty hard to exercise your way into being lean. You know, I always give the example of marathon running. With the Ironman, I think my watch said I burned a little over 8,000 calories. So 8,000 calories is roughly 3,600 calories. So it's roughly 2 pounds, that I metabolized. I took in some calories during. I took in a good bit of calories during the race. So, you know, So if I did an Ironman every day, would I lose weight? Yeah, I probably would lose weight. But walking 1 mile that you burn about 80 calories, that's not going to do it over time. It has to do with eating less calorie-dense foods. And when you eat a whole food plant-based diet, that really, really helps. The problem is that people start to gravitate towards the high calorie-dense foods. And Doug Lyle has done a tremendous amount of good work as far as, you know, we tend to overeat calorie-dense foods as opposed to overeat foods that aren't calorie-dense. So, again, it comes back to mindful eating. You know, eat the salad beforehand. Make sure you've had fruit after your dinner so that you do feel full. And be really conscious about what you're selecting for yourself, because you're in control about what you put in your mouth. There's no reason to blame somebody behind the window of a fast food for your health. You need to be in charge. The reality of it is, if it were so easy, there wouldn't be zillions of books out there, self-help books, how to change your behavior, or zillions of diet books, and zillions of people trying to help you and give people advice. Anyone that's become plant-based and goes out to dinner, they'll find that there's a million experts out there telling you about nutrition and what you should eat. And if I go back just a little bit to the other night, nobody, you know, was watching anybody else by what they ate. And there was, you know, certainly a very positive aspect to the dinner. Most of those people had made the choice to become plant-based, and they wanted to eat healthy, and they'd taken charge of their health, and they were very active. The opposite would be someone that is by themselves in a group of people that eat the standard American diet and like to justify that they eat the standard American diet. And it can become somewhat overwhelming if you're the only guy in the room that's eating that way. I recently had someone talk to me that, you know, they're cattle ranchers and they do hunting, yet she was trying to become plant-based, but she's in a sea of people that think that that's, you know, the craziest thing in the world to do. And the question comes, can you pull it off when you're in a, you know, you're really outnumbered in that kind of environment? It certainly makes it more difficult. It makes it much more negative. It also makes it harder when you've kind of come to the conclusion that these food choices are not only harming them, but they're actually harming the environment and harming the animals. And you start to see that, and it makes it, it just muddies the water so much, and it can create so much confusion. And sometimes it comes down to whether just to give in, you know, or whether it's the daughter that brings honey buns over and a bunch of sweets. There was another patient that her daughter came over to visit her, and she called her and asked her if she wanted her to pick up chicken for her. And she knew she was trying to become plant-based. And this lady is extremely having a hard time struggling with, her weight and the adverse effects of her weight. So the daughter actually waited for her mom to finish her plant-based meal and go to her room, and then she brought her food in. I think my patient kind of like, what are you doing to her? And she, I don't know what really transpired, but at least, you know, she didn't keep it in the room so that that my patient didn't have to be, I guess, tempted by it. And it certainly makes it much more difficult when you're trying to do this alone. The difference between the two people, this patient is actually very committed that she's going to make a change and that she's going to be an example for the rest of her family that are, you know, eating honey buns and fried chicken and are obese. And she's going to be the example because she feels that they're going to follow her once they see how well she does. This is compared to someone that doesn't have any hope that these other people will change and that she's going to be all alone forever in her choices. You can't tell that for sure. It may change. In some cases, I think the only way around that is to also get into an environment that you have some groups of people that are like-minded. It's impossible for an alcoholic to always be in the bar and do well. And I think it's similarly difficult for someone to make that change, especially in the beginning when they're surrounded by people eating things that are tempting them. So it's, you know, the negative things associated with doesn't really help. But again, I think that you have to make a strong commitment that this is what I'm going to do for my health. And it doesn't really matter what anybody else does. This is the line I'm drawing. And I got to do it because she knows, this patient knows that when she eats healthy, her blood pressure's down. When she doesn't eat a whole food plant-based diet, her blood pressure goes up. She requires a lot of medication. And certainly the medication is not preventing her from having progression of vascular disease. It's just keeping her blood pressure down. So it's protective a little bit from a stroke. It's protective a little bit from a heart attack and kidney failure, but it's not the end all. It's not a cure for all these problems. So it makes it really difficult. So when I run on my long runs, especially, I listen to podcasts. So when I run with the dogs, I just kind of watch them and listen and watch for traffic and other dogs and try to stay present. And so that first 4 miles, I'm sort of quiet and just listen to everything around. But the next group of miles, I tend to listen to podcasts. And I was listening to a podcast, Finding Mastery Today by Michael Gervais. And he had on Robert Rabin. And he is someone who studied mindfulness and meditation. And actually, as on the other side of lung cancer, he was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer in 2012. Told there was nothing for him to do. It's 2017, and he states that he's free of cancer. I'm not sure exactly how he went about that, but that wasn't discussed. But what was discussed was mindfulness on the podcast and truth. And it kind of hit home because there's the big truth, the big why are we here, and what is our purpose, and this is the reason truth. But there's also truths of day to day, what we know so far. And I think when you look at whole food plant based nutrition, that's kind of where we are. It's the truth right now. How much, how many carrots do we need? We don't know. We know that the more plant based foods you eat, the better you do. Is there room for cheating? We don't know. We know that the people that do the best, but we don't know where the line is. So, but our truth of today is that, you know, do the best you can and eat as many whole food plant based things as you possibly can. And then, you know, there's some individualness, your genetic makeup, your disease, you know, where you are, how old you are. So there's a lot of different variables. But he gave five ideas for, you know, becoming, I guess, a more mindful person or approaching life in as far as a mindfulness. And so I'd like to maybe go over them with regards to whole food plant-based nutrition. I started out with speak truthfully, listen intently, be creative, be present, and pay attention to everything around you. So I thought those were pretty good things to talk about. And, you know, if we go to speak truthfully, Again, you know, sometimes even when I'm speaking, you know, it seems like that whole food plant-based nutrition is the cure for everything and your life will be completely perfect if you eat a whole food plant-based diet. And we know that's not entirely true. And it, you know, puts a lot of pressure on, you know, being a whole, eating whole food plant-based. What if this, what if not, you know, what happens if I eat this way and I still die? Well, you are going to die. Hopefully you're going to have lived a good life before you die. But the reality of it is there is uncertainty in how much of some of these nutrients. We do know that it'll certainly make your life better for a whole host of reasons. And, you know, I still remain very hopeful that, you know, the more whole foods that you can eat, the better you do. And the reason why I'm so hopeful is I look at various mentors, Dr. Esselstyn and Dr. Furman and Dr. McDougall. I look at the people in the Blue Zone. I look at Dr. Goldhammer. You know, these people are all doing well because of a whole food plant-based diet. There's no side effects in them. I thought about when we were running, I was running today, you know, maybe we should do a study of physicians that are truly a whole food plant-based diet and track them and see how they do over time. And publish that study, you know, and then we can compare it to standard American physicians and see how they do. Still wouldn't be the ultimate truth, but it's certainly the truth as we know it right now. Listen intently. When you hear somebody talk or people give you, you know, reasons why you should or shouldn't do things, you know, listen intently. And review yourself. Make your own. Make sure that the sources are authentic. Listen to what people say, and get an idea of where they're coming from and who they've spoken to. I love listening to podcasts, and even podcasts for people that I don't know. I always find pearls of wisdom. There's always a pearl of wisdom every day that you can hear, and you know, you can see. And it seems to me that things kind of come my way for a good reason. So I'm always open to listening to things that on the outside, I think may not provide me any insight, but always do end up providing me with pearls of wisdom. So I think things are in our path that'll help us each day if you can just listen and be present. So often I hear and speak with people that are trying to become healthier, that they were doing good and then they made a bad food choice. Whether it's purchasing things that have oil in them, taking shortcuts, going through a drive-in window, you know, making excuses. I'm too tired. Nobody will do this with me. You know, I had relatives down. My family won't. You know, I think we have to be present in how we react, even things that upset us. Holding on for no good reason, thinking about them as opposed to what we can do to make our life more positive, holding on to anger for no good reason. You know, we tend to joke, but it's true. In our household, we can stew on things. You know, that something kind of makes you angry and you stew on it, and it's really a bad habit to hold on things. A lot of energy is wasted on stewing on things that you could have just let go. So, you know, I think that's a good one that's a personal growth for me. And paying attention to what you eat, where you eat it, who made it, who's preparing, what are they doing for you, what as far as, you know, are they preparing food that they think you'll like, and you know, is that okay? You know, I don't think it's okay to eat things just because somebody made them for you out of the goodness of their heart. If it's going to hurt you, then your goal is to become healthy. So you know, be polite. Don't eat it. You don't have to tell them that you don't like it. Take it out. You know, when they're not watching, I don't know what to do with it, but you don't certainly need to eat it. You know, people saying that, you know, the thing again, I like the taste, so that's why I eat it. That's really, doesn't serve anybody. As far as, you know, a reason to eat something or make a choice. So pay attention to where things come from, and what's going on around you, with regards to, your health decisions. you know, it doesn't take long to take some time to, you know, read the labels. And if you don't want to read labels, just buy Whole Foods. You know, if you buy a pack of organic carrots, you don't have to read what's in them. It's organic carrots. But if you're buying something in a box, then you need to read the label. And if there's a bunch of ingredients and you get tired of reading the label, then put the box back. That's pretty simple. And that's a good rule of thumb. If you look at the box and it has a big bunch of ingredients, it's not what you want. So put it back. Some people tell me they're tired of chopping, or that the food prep takes a long time. But, you know, if chopping vegetables and preparing your food takes that much out of you, then you probably should see your physician, because something really is bad wrong with you and you need to get more stamina. And I'd love to help you get an exercise program so that you could have enough energy to be able to chop and prepare your food. I don't think that's an excuse. I think that, you know, when you prepare your food, you know what's going into it. And you have control, and you can make it look good, and you can take pride and do it the best you can every day. Some days will have to be more simple than others, perhaps, but you can pay attention and prepare your food. You know, the opposite of that would be, I'm tired of chemotherapy, I'm tired of getting a bypass, I'm tired of stents, I'm tired of taking medication, or I'm just, again, plain tired in general. So if you're tired and you have no energy, then I would really look at your nutrition and see what you're doing. The next one was be creative. You know, enjoying what you prepare, enjoying preparing things for others, sharing it with friends. Last night, I had the pleasure of being invited out for a chili and no oil cornbread and a nice salad with some sweet pepper hummus. And my friend made a key lime pie with limes and some avocado. It was wonderful. Strawberries on top. It was beautifully presented. It was a wonderful evening. Being creative and making things for others. There's a lot of joy in that. It can make you feel really good by creating something that's pretty. Take a picture of your food. You know, make it look good. Plate it nicely. You know, I post all my food, or I don't post all of it, but I post a lot of what I eat on Instagram, and I try to make the plates look nice. I'm going to put that in contrast to when I was young. My mom did all the cooking when I was little. She's the Italian matriarch of the kitchen, but she had to have a knee surgery when I was in, I guess I was just first year, I don't know, I was in college or something. I had been home. But anyway, I decided that I was going to prepare dinner for my father. And that consisted of doing a pot pie, because he liked pot pies. You know, the pot pies in the box that, you know, full of oil and whatever. It's probably a chicken pot pie. Again, this was in the 80s, 90s, or, you know, 80s, I'm going to say. And it was in the 80s. Anyway, I made this pot pie, you know, put it in the oven. I didn't make the pot pie. Took it out. Well, I thought that he would be upset if I served this pot pie in the aluminum foil container that it came in. So I just turned it upside down and put it on a plate. So it spilled, you know. It was just this pot pie that now was ruined. It was just all like splattered over the plate. And he got really angry because he said, you know, this looks awful. You know, it wasn't because it tasted awful, but it looked awful the way I presented it. It, you know, now I wouldn't think about doing something like that, but it was just not being mindful or aware, you know, as a kid. I just thought that he wouldn't like it in the pie pan. But it always comes back to me that, you know, and so now it's been, you know, a long time since then, but I love to present things that look pretty on the table and prepare them and put them out. And I think, especially if you're trying to maybe win somebody over with plant-based nutrition, if it looks great and is presented nicely, then people are going to want it. They're going to want to try it. And they're going to like it before they even taste it, as opposed to, you know, if something looks like a smashed up pot pie, then they're not going to want to have to eat it. So that's, you know, that pretty much takes us through some of those mindful tricks. But to do one day good and one day bad, you know, maybe the idea would be to do 2 days good, one day bad if you're, you know, you're having trouble staying on the path. But I really think that, you know, minute by minute is kind of the way to go, and to be aware of what you're doing and know why you're doing it. You know, if you're trying to become healthy, then, you know, eating that pot pie is not gonna help you, and there's no reason to choose it. It's not part of the plan. And if you're having trouble getting your, you know, blood pressure or sugars under control, then, you know, go back to simple. Go back to fruit and vegetables and potatoes, and keep it simple. Know what you're eating. You know, you're eating a cup of broccoli, you're eating a cup of cabbage, you're eating a cup of rice, you're eating, you know, four pieces of fruit. You know what you're eating. It's easy to quantify. It's right then and there. Don't put the goopy sauces on that add salt and calories when you're trying to get these things under control. Keep it simple. Again, as far as, I guess we'll wrap it up. I hope again that we're going to have some interviews coming up. We'll have Tim Marie again. And again, I'm trying to get my son-in-law, when I can get some time, to get him in about his strength and conditioning. And so a lot of things coming up. We're going to have a potluck for our nutrition group, a Christmas potluck, so that we can share whole food, plant-based, good food that people eat for the holidays, as opposed to, you know, all the food. It's just starting to become eating season where people eat a bunch of junk. It's going to start with Halloween and Halloween candy, so stay away from that stuff. None of it's plant-based. One tip would be to make a holiday Halloween apples. You can take dates and soak them and make a date paste, and then put some walnuts or cow nibs and make an apple, decorative apples. There's a lot of pumpkin recipes out there to make some oatmeal pumpkin cookies. So you don't have to go down the road of eating this sugary stuff just because it's there. And if you are participating in Halloween for kids, which I find very difficult now since I can't, the thought of giving kids that stuff is pretty bad. You can do some healthy bars. You know, most people, if you don't know them, are not going to eat things you make, but there are a few Clif bars out there that I guess you could pass out. Maybe that Hume gel, that might be good. Or these, I guess, you know, why wouldn't the Peter Rabbit baby food things be good? They're good. They're fruit. If kids don't like it, well, you know, at least you gave them something healthy, and you gave them something. So I don't know. Anyway, our membership practice continues to grow. We do an online program as well, level ones and level twos. So check out the website at drdelaney.com, drdulaney, for information. If you have questions about that, please email me at jamie@drdelaney.com. Love to answer your questions about that. Love to have you part of the practice. March 24th, 2018, we'll be having our third annual plant-based nutrition conference. So keep following the website for that. And until next time, be mindful and try to be creative for this week. And send me a question if you have it. And I also like a positive rating on iTunes if you have a minute. So have a great week. Thank you.